Well, today, how many are ready to study God's Word? Are you ready to study God's Word? How many want to grow to be like Jesus? How many want to grow to be like, isn't that your prayer this morning? To grow to be like Jesus? How many want to grow to be like your spouse? No hands there, okay? Let's ask, how many want to grow to be like Jesus? That's a lot better, yeah. Yeah, it's a lot better to grow to be like Jesus. And today, as we're talking about servant leadership in our series that we've started, Servant Leaders, we are learning what it means to be a servant. And Jesus said, man, if you're going to find me, you're going to find me serving. You're not going to find me at the head of the table wearing, you know, a big crown saying, yo, yo, I'm the man here. But he's saying what? He's saying, you're going to find me serving. That's where you're going to find me. You're going to find me serving. And if you want to find me, then you got to enter through that door of servanthood. And so we're learning what it means to walk in an attitude and a spirit of serving. We're praying that God would help us to be kind in everything that we do so we have a servant's heart. We're just praying that prayer. This whole series, I'm praying that prayer that God would change our hearts to be kind. And so many of you are coming to me recently and say, Pastor, man, everything you're preaching is coming back and slapping me in the face throughout the week. I'm being challenged at my work. I'm being challenged in the line at the store. I'm being challenged at the ballpark. I'm being challenged at different places. You know, and it takes effort to be kind sometimes, doesn't it? And it takes a spirit of the Lord in us to be kind in our nature and to show the love of Christ. And so today we're talking about, last week we talked about the attitude that Jesus had. This week I want to talk about growing like Jesus. Growing like Christ. We know that our purpose from the very beginning was to become like Christ. In fact, we find this in Romans 8:29. Let's look at it and read it together. Romans 8:29 says it like this. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them the right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. So the very first part of this verse, we know that in advance, before you were ever born, it says that he chose them to become like his son. That's us. He's talking about us. He has chosen us to become like Jesus, his son. For God knew us in advance and he has called us in advance to become like Jesus. How are we going to do that? Look at the rest of this verse. He says, having chosen them, he didn't leave you alone. He said, but having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And when he come to him, he said he gave them the right standing, his grace and his mercy, because we can't come to him in our own abilities. I don't care how smart you are, how talented you are. I don't care how many good works you think you may have done in your life. You can never come to Christ except through Jesus. You can never come to God except through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of our sins. It's through his grace and his mercy that he has placed us in right standing. And as he has placed us in right standing, he has given them the right standing. He has given them his glory. What is his glory? That's his presence, man. He's given us his presence to help us to become like Christ. Let me say again, he is giving us his glory, his presence, because in the very beginning, he has called us to become like his son. And so he gave us his glory, not just so we can come in today and say, woo, what great worship. Man, I felt it, and that song was like, woo, I can feel it. Could you feel it? Man, that was awesome. He didn't just give us his glory so we could feel good. He didn't just give us his presence so we could feel good, but he gave us his presence so that we could change and become like his son, Jesus. And that's the goal. Well, Pastor, I'll never be like Jesus. You're right. You never will. And I never will. But it's the call that he's given us to continually to strive for. That's the goal that he set before us. And the fact that we will never accomplish it means that we should never stop growing. The fact that we will never become exactly like Jesus means that we should always be growing no matter what our age is. No matter how long you've been coming to church, no matter how long you've been a Christian, we are all called to grow and to become like Christ. It's a continual process that will continue the rest of our life. We are called to be like him. Listen, this is not plan B. This is not plan B. This is not plan B of God's plan for our life. In the very first book of the Bible, in Genesis, he says, let us make man in what? In our image, man. In my own image. He said, let's make man in our image. This has always been God's plan that man become like Jesus. that man become in the image of Jesus Christ. He said, let's make man in our own image. This is not plan B. This is plan A. This has always been God's plan from the very beginning, that we become like Jesus. But you will never be God. I will never be God. Now, some of you think you may be God. When you're 16 and you got your license for the first time, and you go on that first date, it doesn't get any better than that, man. You guys, we're feeling it. But I got to tell you, there's never a point in our life when we become like God. There's never a point in life we'll never be God. He is holy. We'll never be God. But God does want you to become godly. God does want you and I to become godly. This means we take on his characteristics, his moral attributes, his values. He wants us to see things the way that he sees things. He wants us to do what he would do if he was here. He wants us to act the way he would act. Basically, God wants you to do what? He wants you to grow up. Isn't that good? God wants all of us to grow up. Look what Ephesians 4:15 says. God wants us to grow up like Christ in everything. It kind of sums it up right there, doesn't it? God wants us to grow up like Christ in everything. How many know babies are cute? Aren't babies the cutest thing ever? I've got a little experience with babies, okay? And it's amazing. I remember we had our first child. How many remember being in the hospital and they bring that baby to you and they poop for the first time? Little bitty old pebbles coming out. You know what I'm talking about? Isn't that the cutest thing ever? You're like, open that diaper. Oh, look at the little cute poo-poo. I mean, it's really cute. Oh, look at it. You know, you never thought poop could be cute. But on a baby, you're like, oh, that's cute. I can't believe it's a diaper. It's the first diaper. But how many know when they get to be 10, it's not cute any longer? When they get to be 10, it's not cute any longer. We're going to have a problem. You're going to learn to be potty trained. You're going to learn to wipe yourself. It's not cute any longer. I don't want to smell it. I don't want to see it. Go, you know, there's a time for us to grow, and God wants every one of us a chance to grow. He has destined that we never stay like spiritual infants. He's never designed us to stay spiritual infants. He has always designed for you and I to grow and to use Jesus Christ as our target growth, to use him as the model that we grow and begin to act and to feel like Jesus. It's the spiritual maturity that he has called us to go to. This doesn't happen overnight. There's no, you know, lightning bolt that comes and bam, you know. There's no spiritual pill and bam, I'm like Jesus. It's a thing that happens through a process of time. It happens over time. And, you know, our kids don't grow up overnight. You know, they're not potty trained just like that. It takes a process. And then once they get potty trained, they don't always make it, you know. And then it takes time, you know. And then once they make it, they don't always do the best job, you know. And it takes a lot of laundry and a lot of throwing away of underwear. I mean, it takes a long time for kids to mature, doesn't it? It takes a long time. And it's a process of maturing that all of us have to go through. This process God has designed as discipleship. He calls it discipleship. And as you become like Christ, you become what the Bible calls holy. Holiness means to basically be like Jesus. Being like Jesus, this holiness that he has called you and I to walk in, to walk toward, to strive for. You know, God uses a lot of ways to grow us. He uses, you know, the Bible. We know that his truth brings life. We are transformed by the truth of the Bible. His word transforms our life. If we apply it to our life, we know that his word, his Bible, will bring transformation to us. God uses people to come into our lives to help transform us, disciple us. They challenge us, and they lead by example. They talk through your mistakes with you, and they answer your questions, and they model good behavior, and they model what it means to grow. God will use people to grow us, but it's often many times that God uses different other ways in our life to grow us to the place of becoming like Jesus. And we see this in the purpose here. God uses some unexpected things in our life, according to Romans 8:28. The verse before the verse we just read, it says it like this. Romans 8:28, in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. In how many things? I said it again, say all things. God works together for good in what? All things. In all things, God works things according to his purpose. He wants to make you like Jesus Christ. We know that. We just established that in the verse. He has called us to be like Jesus. And the verse before that says it like this: in all things, God works for the good. The good of what? To make us like Jesus. That's what he's talking about. In all things, God works for the good of the purpose, of his purpose. What's his purpose? His purpose for me to become like Jesus. So in all things, God will use it to develop me to become like Jesus Christ. And so God uses so many things. So Pastor, you're saying that God will use my mistakes to make me like Jesus? Yes. God will use evil done against me to make me like Jesus? Yes. God will use good things, bad things, things done by man, things done by Satan, things done by other people. God will use things to develop me to become more like Jesus. He will use everything. There's nothing in your life, no matter how painful, that God will not use in your life to develop you to become like Jesus. It does not say that everything in life is good, does it? There's a lot of bad things in life. There's a lot of terrible, tragic things that happen in our lifetime. A lot of injustice, a lot of things that should never have happened. But if we will allow it and give those things to Jesus, he will use them for good according to his purpose. Anybody can bring good out of good. Isn't that amazing? I mean, anybody can look at a good situation and bring the good out of it, can't it? But what's so awesome about our God is he can look at a bad situation, he can look at a tragedy, he can look at a trial, and he can take an evil, he can take a bad situation, and he can turn around and use it for good. That's the power of our God. That's the power of our God today, that he can take any circumstance we're going through, any trial you're going through today, and turn it around and work it for our good. And so I want to look at some things. There's about three things here today I want to show you, that God uses these things that maybe we don't think about to use us to grow and to mature us to become like Jesus. What does God use us to make us holy? Number one, God uses the trouble. God uses trouble to teach us to trust him. God uses trouble to teach us to trust him. Anytime you're going through trouble, you can know this. It's a test. It's a test. God uses tests to test us, and he knows that he is growing us through these tests. Look at Romans 5, 3 and 4. Troubles produce patience, and patience produce character, and character produces hope. That's good. Let's read that again. Trouble produces patience, and patience produces character, and character produces hope. The goal in our life is character. Becoming like Jesus means we are people who have character in our life. My goal in life is not career. Let me say it again. My goal in life is not career. My goal in life is to build character. Should we have a career? Yes. And hopefully you have a good career. It's fulfilling, and God is using you on your job, and it brings fulfillment and allows you to supply for your family. But listen, my goal is not my career. My goal is my character. That's what God's concerned with about. He's not concerned about my comfort as much as he is my character. He's not concerned with my career as much as he is concerned about my character. God is far more interested in you than what you do. God is more worried about this person than he is than what you do. He wants to develop you from the inside out, the character that he's wanting to put in our life. That should be the goal of our life, is to have the character that God is calling us to walk in. You're going to have all kinds of problems in your life. You're going to wonder, why is God making this so hard on me? Why is God making me and allowing me to walk through this trial in my life? Because he's developing your character. I look back over times in my life and I walk through things thinking, God, I cannot walk through this. God, I don't want to walk through this. But I can tell you, after walking through it, I'm a stronger person for it. I'm a better husband. I'm a better father. I'm a better pastor. I'm a better Christian because I walk through things in my life that didn't make sense. And I walked through things when I had to trust on God. I had to walk through times in my life when, man, it was just me and God. And it's in those times that God built my character. It's in those times that God developed me even stronger. He formed me. God wants to use the trials to teach us to trust him. God is longing to build the character in our life. Every problem has a purpose. There's no purposeless problems in our life if we give it to Jesus. Even the worst ones, even the ones we wish hadn't have happened in our life, if we'll give these problems over to God, allow God to use them in our life, he will build character in our life for it. Jesus went through many trials and tribulations in his life, didn't he? I mean, his greatest trial was the night before he was to be crucified, and he went to the garden to pray. Look what the Bible says about this in Mark 14. Mark 14 and verse 32. They came to the garden called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here a while and pray." Look what it says. Distressed and anguish came all over him, and he said, "The sorrow of my heart is so great that it almost crushes me." I mean, you're talking about the stress that Jesus was facing. You're talking about the trial he was going through. He was saying, "Man, my heart, the anguish, it crushes my soul. I'm under so much distress." He says, "It crushes me." My guess is that you've been in some experience in life where you thought you were going to feel this way. You feel like you were going to fold. You feel like the trial was going to crush you. I guarantee that all of us have gone through, and if you haven't gone through it yet, you will. Things in your life, you feel like, if I just have to face this one more day, it's going to crush me. I can't take the weight of this problem. I can't take the weight of this trial. And Jesus understands what you're going through. He says, "Man, the weight of this crushes me." But look at his response in the next verse. "Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me, yet I want your will, not mine." That should be the prayer of every one of us. When we walk through a trial in our life, this should be the prayer. Number one, "God, I know you've got the power to take this problem away." That's what he said, number one. He says, "I know you've got the power to take this problem away." Second, "God, I want you to take it out of my life because it's causing me a lot of pain." And third, "This problem is your purpose in my life, so bring it on." "God, I'm going through something that's causing me a lot of pain. God, can you please take it away from my life? But God, if you don't, I know that you're going to make me stronger for going forward. So bring it on. So bring it on." I mean, isn't that the prayer we should have in our life? That, "God, this hurts. God, I don't understand. God, this is a lot of pain. I wish you would take it away from me. But God, if you choose for me to walk it longer, then bring it on. I will serve you. I will trust you. I will not give up. I will continue to serve your purpose. No trial will overcome me. Even though it hurts, and even though my spirit feels like it's being crushed, I know if I will allow it, God will work it out for my good." He uses our troubles to teach us. Number two, he uses temptation to teach us to obey him. He uses temptation to teach us to obey him. Let me be real clear about the definition of temptation. What we're talking about here is temptations are situations designed by Satan, intended to harm us. Temptations are situations designed by Satan, intended to harm us. But God is able to use temptations that Satan means to harm us to use it for good in our life. And God will often use temptation to teach us to be obedient to him. Matthew 4:1 says it like this: "Then Jesus was led into the spirit, into the desert, to be tempted by the devil." The fact is that Jesus was tempted. Jesus was tempted, and every temptation has a choice. Jesus was tempted. He faced and teaches us some very important things about temptations. He teaches us this. Number one, he reminds us that it's not a sin to be tempted. It's not a sin to be tempted because Jesus was tempted, and yet he had no sin. So first of all, it's not a sin to be tempted. And when you're tempted about something, sometimes we're like, "Oh, I'm having this thought. I must be the most horrible person in the world. Oh, I'm like the biggest sinner ever because I had this thought, and it's so impure, or it's so unholy." And we feel so bad. And let me tell you, it's not a sin to be tempted. And number two, everyone's tempted in the same way. Scripture is very clear that all temptation is common to man. Basically, what it translates to saying, there's no new temptation. That all of us have the same temptations, and everyone has been tempted with the same things. So you're not the only one who's ever been tempted with what you're tempted with. You're not the only one to ever be tempted with things that aren't right. And it's not a sin to be tempted. Temptation is always, listen, it reminds us that you'll never outgrow temptation. You know, Jesus was 30 years old here. I mean, if anybody was going to outgrow temptation, it had been Jesus. He was 30 years old, still being tempted. So you never outgrow temptation. And the last thing, temptation is always an opportunity to do good and to make the right choice. Temptation is always an opportunity to make the right choice. This morning, I talked to you about that earlier when we opened up the service, that today our life's filled with choices. And you're going to be tempted to do things today before this day's over with, if you haven't already. You're going to be tempted to do things you shouldn't do. And your life is filled every day with choices. And temptation is what it is. It's a choice to do what I know I shouldn't do or to do the right thing. And every time I turn to the right, every time I turn and do the right thing and reject the temptation that I'm thinking or I want to do by my flesh, every time I turn and do the right thing, what am I doing? I'm being obedient to God. And I am doing what? I am building character in my life. I'm building a strong character that resists temptation and says, God, not my will, but yours be done in my life. And God uses that temptation to develop me, to teach me obedience, to grow me. Look what Scripture says in Matthew 4:10. Get out of here. This is Jesus' response, man. Jesus told Satan this. He said, get out of here, Jesus told Satan. The Scripture says, worship only the Lord God. Obey only Him. Here's the point. Every time you and I face temptation, we have the opportunity to choose. Every time we face temptation, we are choosing who we love the most. Oh, isn't that good? Every time we face the temptation, we're choosing who do we love the most. Do we love the temptation? Do we love the sin? Do we love the addiction? Do we love the secret thing that no one knows about? Do we love that more than we love God? No, I love God more than anything. Then prove it. Then prove it. Say no. Say no. Turn to the right. Say, God, yeah, that would be nice. Yeah, that feels good. But God, I know this does not please you. So I'm going to turn here and say yes to your will. Saying yes to you. And as I do that, God is developing me. He's growing me. And I'm saying, God, I love you more than I love that. And this may not even be a bad thing, really. Sometimes some temptations aren't even necessarily a bad thing by themselves. But God wants to, it's going to choose. Are you going to choose a good thing? Or are you going to choose the best thing? Are you going to choose something that you could do and get by with? Or are you going to choose the thing that brings me glory in your life? Are you going to choose the thing you've always done? Or are you going to choose the thing that's difficult, but you know I want you to walk down? I mean, temptation comes in all different forms. And when we choose to do the right thing, we're saying this, God, I love you. I love you. I love you. When I come home to my family, I'm saying, my family, I love you more than anything else. I am choosing to come home and to spend my time with you. I'm choosing to love God. He says, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. Our last thing today. He uses trespasses to teach us to forgive. He uses trespasses to teach us to forgive. If trials are situations designed by God to draw us closer to Him, and temptations are situations designed by the devil to draw us away from God, then trespasses are situations designed by other people to hurt us. Trespasses are designed by other people, situations they use to try to hurt you and I. And the fact in life is this, that you're going to be hurt. The fact of life that we all know this to be true, that you're going to be hurt. This is not heaven. We all live in a fallen world, and this is it, man. You're going to have hurt in your life. People are going to do things that hurt you in your life. You're going to have trespasses against you almost every day. All of us are going to have people who do things to hurt us in our life, whether through their actions or through their words. People are going to do things that hurt us. And the Bible says that we are to what? When he was asked, how do we pray? His disciples, how do we pray? One of the very first things that Jesus teaches us in the Lord's Prayer is that we ask, that every day we ask this, Lord, forgive those who have trespassed against me. Why is that important? You ever thought about that? Why does God want me to forgive the people who have done me wrong? Because I tell you the truth, I like being mad sometimes. That's not always healthy, but sometimes I feel good about being mad. Sometimes people have done things against me, and mad, and boy, I'm ready to chew them up and spit them out, man. I don't want to forgive them. I want to forgive them with a 2x4 upside their head. That's what I want to do. I mean, I don't always, the most, kind person. And sometimes it feels good to be mad at people because they've done wrong against you. Don't look at me like I'm the only one that's ever felt this way. Our pastor's been upset. See, God allows us to go through times, and he says this. He says, you're going to be done wrong in your life. People are going to do things against you. You're going to be misunderstood. You're going to have pain in your life. But God says this. He says, I want you to pray this prayer every day. Lord, help me to forgive those who have trespassed against me. Let me tell you this. I believe, in my personal opinion, as your pastor, I believe this, that there is no area in your life that will bring greater growth and character than this area right here, when we learn to forgive those who have trespassed against us. And usually this is the last thing that we grow in. It's one of the last areas, because it's a hard thing to do, because my nature is not to be forgiving. My nature is to be revengeful. My nature is to hold a grudge. My nature is to have a crutch. My nature is to be bitter, because we use it as a protective mechanism to keep us from being hurt from other people. So we get mad and we build these walls up and we have anger. I'm never going to love again. Never. I'm never going to trust again. I'm never going to be used again. And we build these walls up, and it's just like a cocoon. And our bitterness and our anger and our unforgiveness. And many times, most of the time, it's undeserving that we had things done against us. But God says, every day I want you to pray this prayer. Father, help me to forgive those who've done me wrong. God, every day help me to forgive those who speak evil of me. God, help me to forgive every day those who have done things against me that are not right. Why is that important? Because the very basic principle of our salvation is forgiveness. I mean, at the cross, aren't you glad today that Jesus didn't hold a grudge? Aren't you glad today that God didn't hold a grudge against you and I? He could have wiped us off the face of the planet, man, and started somewhere else. But he said, no, I'm going to love him enough. I'm going to send my son. And when Jesus was on the cross, it says he was hanging there. A sinless man. Never hurt anybody. Only came to save the world. And as he's hanging on the cross with blood dripping out of his hands and his feet and his back shredded like hamburger meat, skin hanging off of him, crown of thorns in his head, grasping for every breath he has. The people walked by, leaders, people that knew him, people that followed him and said, oh, look at him, the king of the Jews. Yo, man, if you're really God, come down from there and save yourself. They said they spit upon him and they spat upon him and they mocked him and they called him names, even while he's hanging there in his last breath. I mean, you talk about being trespassed against. The Son of God, the Son of Man, hanging, suspended, willingly, for them. And yet they mock him. I mean, my nature would have been what? You know what? God, I control this. I control these heavens and earth. I control the weather. Let basketball-sized hell come down right now. That would have been my prayer, but not Jesus. He wasn't revengeful. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I can't comprehend that love. It's a hard thing for me to comprehend that. But I know this, that he forgave me. He forgave you. He showed us that kind of love. He showed you and I that kind of love. Why? Because he wants us to model it. He didn't ask us to model something he didn't do. So when you have to model forgiving those who are talking about you in the break room, when you got to forgive those who have spread rumors about you that are not true, when you got to forgive those who have stabbed you in the back with a knife, man, when you got to forgive those who have hurt you and rejected you, when you got to forgive those who wrongly accused you, when you got to forgive those, how can I do that? I can't do it on my own. But through his glory, through his presence in my life, I can pray this prayer. God, forgive those who trespass against me. And when I do that, I'm becoming the most like Jesus I can become as I'm operating in the spirit of forgiveness. I'm telling you, it'll build your character more than anything else in your life when you learn to forgive. It doesn't mean you become their best friend. It doesn't mean you even like them. There's a lot of people in my life I've forgiven, but I don't really like them. Honestly, I don't like them, but I've been able to forgive them. I've been able to have a love in my heart that God would help them change. That's not an easy thing to do. But it's a process of daily saying, God, I want to grow. And being a servant is learning that God is causing me to grow like Jesus. He's going to use my trials in my life. He's going to use the hard things I walk through in my life. He's going to use temptation to grow me, that I can choose to follow after Jesus. He's going to use people trespassing against me. But you know what? He's not asking you to do anything he hasn't done. He's not asking you to walk a road he hasn't walked. But he led it, that by example. And he passed that test. And he says, now I have made you. I have made you to become in the image of my son. You can walk in forgiveness. You can say no to temptation. Let me say it again. You can say no to temptation through the power of God's Holy Spirit in your life. It's through him. Not in your own power, not in your own will, but through the power of the Holy Spirit alive in my life, I can say no to temptation. I can choose to do the right thing. And when I choose to do the right thing, I'm choosing to say, God, I love you more than anything else. And I can choose to forgive. I can choose to stay bitter. I can choose to give up. I can choose to be angry, to build a wall around me, or I can choose to forgive. I say, Father, forgive them. And when I do that, I grow and become more like Jesus than I ever have in my life. Let's bow our heads. Today, with every head bowed, and I just want to give you this chance today. If you're here and you say, Pastor, you're talking about growing like Jesus, becoming like Jesus. I just got to be honest today, first of all, and say, I don't even know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today. And I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I need to accept his love and forgiveness that he paid for me on the cross. I need to get into a right standing with God today. I need to accept his son as my Savior, asking him to come into my life and be Lord of my life. Nobody's looking around, and I will not embarrass you in any way. But I want to give you a chance to respond today. Maybe you're like the five people that was here last week who made this decision. Maybe you're here and say, you know what, Pastor? I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If you're here today, can you just raise your hand high and say, that's me? No one's looking but me, but I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today. Raise it high. I want to see it. Can you do that, please, for me? I want to make sure everyone has a chance to make that decision. The second question I have for you today is then this. How many today would say, Pastor, whether it be an area that you talked about in obedience, overcoming temptation, maybe it's an area of just learning to forgive those who've done me wrong, that somewhere along the line today in this message I've been challenged to change some things in my life, and God's speaking to me, and I want to be obedient to what he's calling me to change in my life. I want to learn to grow in my character. I want to learn to grow in the servant spirit that Jesus led in. God was speaking to me today to make some changes in my life. That's you. Can you just say that to me, Pastor? Yeah, thank you. Several hands. Somewhere today God spoke to you to make a change in your life. Yeah. Several hands going up across the auditorium. It's just a starting point today to say, yes, Pastor, God's speaking to me, and I'm saying yes, I acknowledge that, and I want to make changes in my life. Anybody else here today want to raise your hand? You haven't raised it yet. Thank you. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. Listen, He called us, man. He's called every one of us. He's called every one of us to become like his son. And he says, I've got a purpose for you, and I'm going to work all things for good. That's such a good scripture to hold on to today. You remember that scripture this week that no matter what you go through in your life today, when it's a bad thing you're going through, in your heart, I'm going to say, God, but yet, God, today you're going to cause all things to work together for good in my life. Hold on to that promise, knowing today that God's working it out on your behalf. God's working it out. And he's giving you his glory His presence to help you become like His Son. He didn't abandon you, but He left you His Holy Spirit. He left you His presence to help guide you and lead you, to empower you to become more like His Son, Jesus. I want to pray for you today in closing. Father, I pray for every hand that was raised today. All those people who raised their hands for different areas in their life, saying that, God, they want to make some changes in their life to help them grow to become more like Your Son, Jesus. God, every one of us, we never stop growing. We all need to pursue the character that You have designed us to be, the character that reflects Your Son. And Father, I pray today that our hearts are changing. Our hearts are softening. Help us, God, to say no to temptations. Help us to say yes to You. Help us to say no to addiction and say yes to You. Help us to say no to things that lead us astray and say yes to things of Your nature. I say yes, I love You more than I love my sin. I say yes, I love You more than I love this temptation. I say yes, I love You more. And I'm choosing to do the right thing. But I pray for those today who raised their hands and said that maybe they had forgiveness in their heart they're working through. God, this is a big issue with all of us. Lord, there's people who have hurt us in our life and they'll hurt us tomorrow. And I pray that, Father, You would help us to carry Your spirit of forgiveness in our heart. The same spirit You carried even to the cross. When people rejected You, mocked You, done You wrong, You said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I pray that same spirit of forgiveness would help me in my life to learn to forgive others, to set them free from my life, no longer to be a person who causes bitterness, no longer to be a person who causes me to be resentful, but a person I can release to You and say, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Help me to become like Your Son who showed me forgiveness. And Father, I thank You, Lord, today for every person here. Lord, help us all to grow. Help us all to mature and become like Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we say it together, amen and amen. God bless you today. Hug a neck before you leave. Shake a hand and tell somebody, it was so good to be with you in church today. We'll say, God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday nights. We got men's ministries, women's ministries, children, youth. Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, work night, guys. We'll see you here.